Jesus takes our sin, we get his perfection. You're like, how is that fair? It's not. It's not fair to Christ. It's love. It's the love of God as why he was sent, that we might be oaks of righteousness. And when Jesus Christ plants an oak of righteousness, you will never, ever, ever be uprooted. You are going to last forever. You will never be cast out. You will never, ever be cut down.
Hey, listeners, we are so thankful to have you joining us today in the middle of our series, Rivers in the Desert. This has been such an encouragement to me and to our church, and we want to know if it's encouraged you as well. We love hearing from our listeners. Live in the Light exists because we want to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. If that's you today, can you let us know? Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT and let us know how God is working in your life or what he's teaching you this season. Today's message continues into Isaiah 61, talking about the source of the river, our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about his mission, his rescue plan, his coming to save us and redeeming us for eternity with him. Amen! Do you want to hear more? I know I do, so let's dive back in with our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
So therefore, you are poor in spirit, you are broken and contrite in heart, and you call out with faith to Jesus Christ to save you again from your sin. Jesus Christ came to bring good news to those who know they need to be saved. This is why Jesus passes over the proud. Because the proud are like, I don't need Jesus, I don't need anything, I'm God. That's the majority of our world, especially like our Western world. We're so filled with ourselves. We're so filled with our own pride. We don't need a savior, God, whatever. And unbelief fills our hearts. And so therefore, in our pride, we are not saved because we don't think we need to be saved from anything. We don't see our sin. We don't call sin, whatever. The proud, those who don't believe, they are passed over. But the poor in spirit receive the good news for what it is. I was an unbeliever until I was broken in my sin. And my answers ran out at the age of 22. I was devastated in the poverty of my own spirit and my inability to fix this, that all of a sudden, for the first time, I looked up and recognized I needed a savior to save me from myself. I finally acknowledged I was poor. And then I was able to receive the good news. And that's every single person who's truly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just how it works. And notice next, though, what he came to do. He says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Man, I love this statement so much. So the anointed one, Jesus, is sent to bind up. Bind up means to bandage together. Picture like bringing a wound together to promote healing, you know, when we do that. And why is that needed? Because sin ruins everything. Because sin makes a separation between us and God. Sin wounds, sin wrecks, sin destroys. Notice what sin does. Sin rips apart everything that's supposed to be held together. Sin rips apart our souls. Sin rips apart our relationship with God. Sin rips apart marriages and rips apart families and rips apart friendship and rips apart, again, unity in this world and rips apart harmony. And sin tears everything apart. Jesus comes to bind it back together. Only Jesus can do that. And the most important thing, though, that sin does, again, it ruins our relationship with God. And we can't restore ourselves back to God. We must have Christ who comes as the cross that allows us to join back into harmonious relationship and peace with God. Again, this is why Christmas is such a big deal. Jesus Christ came as the Prince of Peace to reconcile God back to us or us back to God. Jesus Christ comes to bind up the brokenhearted. Is your heart broken today? Maybe you are here and silently you are brokenhearted. Do not run to the polluted, contaminated cesspool of the world. Some of you here today, stop running back to that guy who treats you like garbage and continues to wreck your heart. Stop doing that. You know it's not working. It is a devastation to you where you are. Stop running to things like social media that are just multiplying your misery, or the devices and systems of the world that always promise fulfillment and never deliver on that promise ever. Rather, run to the anointed one. Run to Jesus, who never, ever breaks a heart. It's impossible for Jesus to break your heart. He is the healer of hearts. He's the only one who can truly heal. He is the source of rescue. He is the source of renewal. He is the source of revival. He is the source of living water. We live in a world of so many broken lives. Maybe in this room right now, there are many broken lives and broken hearts. The only way you will be brought back together in health and to be restored with life and hope eternal is Jesus Christ. He is the anointed one. His mission was to put you back together by forgiveness and grace and his gospel message, again, of saving us from our sin. There's more in verse one. Look at verse one. He has been sent to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Wow, this is beautiful, beautiful imagery here. Notice Jesus is the source of freedom. This anointed one is the source of freedom, the only one who can set us free. Why is that so needed? On our own, we are in a prison of sin. There's no way out. We don't have the key. We keep trying to find the key to get us out of our prison of sin. And our world tries to help us. Our world says, I got a key. The key of pleasure, the key of self-help, the key of worldly psychology, the key of positive thinking, the key of self-worship. That'll deliver you. It never does. The world says, I got a key. The key of with drugs, keys of leisure, entertainment, celebrity, but the keys of the world never, ever work. They don't work. They never have. They never will. They've tried over and over again, and you keep trying this key and this key, but you're still stuck in the prison of sin. You can't change yourself by yourself. We need help to do this. We cannot save ourselves. We're in this prison. And this is all the statistics of our day, all the people committing suicide, all the hopelessness, all the despair, all the depression, all the misery, all the meaninglessness. It's all people in prisons trying to get out, but they can't. And the world never, ever truly delivers. There's only one who holds the keys to death and Hades. His name is Jesus Christ. And he says that in Revelation chapter 1. He's the only one who has the key that can open up our prison cell in the dungeon of our sin. He's the only one who can shine light in our darkness that we may be saved, because he is the only one who's the source of renewal and rescue and revival. I thought of a couple of songs that speak to this exactly here. This is from And Can It Be, and always loved this verse. And this describes our lives before Christ and then after Christ. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and essentially darkness. That's that every person before Christ is imprisoned in sin and darkness. But then God's eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, man, I love this. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My prison doors smashed. I added that. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed. This is why the anointed one was sent. He was sent to bring the message of good news, to live, to die on our behalf, to be raised from the dead. And all who believe in Jesus Christ, you're in the prison of sin, you believe in Jesus Christ, he enters into your prison cell, he smashes down the door and says, my child, you are free to go. You will never, ever return here again, ever. This is why Jesus was sent. This is why Christmas is such a huge deal. It's the announcement of the arrival of the only one who can save. Let's go to a Christmas lyric on this note too. This is O Holy Night. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break. This is why he came. For the slave is our brother, and in his name, all oppression shall cease. And when you see this, when chains are broken and you are now free and you've been a captive set free, of course, sweet hymns of joy. Of course, gratitude and grateful chorus the church should raise. Let all within us praise his holy name. I'm just a big, big believer. I mean, like maybe some homework for today. You get O Holy Night. You play it as loud as you possibly can at some point today, all right? And you just, when this verse comes up there and you see the gospel in front of you, you just proclaim it, maybe on the way home, and turn it up so loud that it bugs your kids or something like that. Or maybe kids, you play it so loud you bug your parents or whatever. Maybe you all together say, let's just blast O Holy Night and worship the Lord in the reality that he is the only one who can set us free. He came with a mission, eh? I mean, his mission was unlike any other. Awesome. Glorious, to rescue, to renew, to revive. But notice what happens now in verse 2. Verse 2 is very, very interesting. It says this, he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. So two things are happening right here, okay? There's the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. That's what's happening right in the beginning of verse 2. Why don't you look at that? Let's be students of God's word, man. Let's make some notes. Let's highlight. Let's learn. We return to this passage. We know what we've learned, okay? Notice, number one, the year of the Lord's favor. That's the first coming of Christ. And then notice, the day of wrath or the day of vengeance is the second coming of Christ, where he will not come to save, but he will come to judge. Now, the year of the Lord's favor mentioned here in Isaiah 61 is almost certainly a reference or an allusion to the year of Jubilee, as described in Leviticus. Many of you are saying, what is the year of Jubilee? The year of Jubilee was once every 50 years, 50. A ram's horn would sound, starting a full year of celebration. Listen to what happened. Debts were canceled. Slaves were freed, and people who lost their property due to poverty, they received it back again. Again, so this illusion would produce the greatest ideas of freedom that the people could think of on the hearing of Isaiah 61 and also in Luke chapter 4. What's interesting here too, right? When you compare Isaiah 61, what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, what's prophesied here in verse 2 was fulfilled in Luke 4. How? By the arrival of God's favor being announced through Jesus Christ, right? Jesus stands up and he says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and he's announcing to everyone in synagogue that day, the source of renewal is here. The anointed one has come. Grace has arrived on earth. The year of the Lord's favor, listen, this is so important. The year of the Lord's favor, the age of grace, began with the first coming of Jesus Christ, and it will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. We right now are in the year of the Lord's favor, the age of grace. Right now today, we are still in the time where the message of salvation is preached. All those who believe in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, they can be saved forever and receive eternal life by nothing they have done, but by everything that Christ has done through his life, death, and resurrection. The year of the Lord's favor, we are still in that right now, the end, the age of grace, where everyone has the opportunity to be saved by belief in Jesus Christ and his gospel. But the year of the Lord's favor will not last forever. Again, when Jesus Christ returns, the age of grace is done. When Jesus Christ returns, we see here in our passage, but it's interesting, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus did not say the day of vengeance of our God. He stopped at the year of the Lord's favor. Why? Because at that point, he came to fulfill up until the year of the Lord's favor. He was not going to say that is his second coming. That is still to come. He stopped at the year of the Lord's favor because it wasn't the time for that last phrase. But one day soon, it will be the time for the day of vengeance of our God. And when Jesus Christ returns, right, those who belong to him, they will receive eternal comfort. Those who have rejected him, those who have not believed in him, those who have hated him and mocked him and spurned him, they will enter into eternal judgment under the day of vengeance or the day of wrath of our God. It's very important to be as clear as the Bible here to understand where we are now and what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. We are in a time of favor that will not last forever for those who continue to disbelieve and reject the message of love and grace and mercy and life that is found in the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. See, but his mission was to rescue and to renew. Secondly, his ministry is one of revival and rejoicing. So look at verse 3 now. It says, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. I just want to stop there. Look at what the source of revival and rejoicing does. Now, what we just read in verse 3, this will ultimately be fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus Christ. These promises will ultimately be fulfilled with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more evil, no more death, no more sin, no more Satan, where we will receive the eternal perfection of joy and gladness and a garment of praise as opposed to discouragement and a faint spirit. However, those of us who are saved in Jesus Christ, this is where we are heading on a continual basis, to receive a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. Man, I love the imagery in verse 3. I love it. Highlight, underline, make some notes. It's so beautiful. Notice headdress, beautiful headdress instead of ashes. In times of mourning, the people would put ashes, would smear on their head to acknowledge they are in the midst of grief or suffering. Jesus Christ came instead of ashes to put a beautiful headdress upon those who believe in him. It goes on to say the oil of gladness instead of mourning. So oil was only used in times of gladness within the Old Testament, never in times of sorrow. So the Anointed One comes to anoint with the oil of gladness upon his people. He replaces grief and mourning with fresh life and hope. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today right now and you are in a time of grief or mourning. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, here's the promise. You won't be that way for very long. You're in a time of present mourning and grief, darkness, sin, suffering, pain, heartache, whatever it may be. The promise is one day soon when Jesus Christ returns, all that mourning will end. Again, the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And notice right in our text at the end of verse 2 and in verse 3, it says, and they shall be comforted. Jesus Christ came to bring the oil of gladness to replace those who are mourning. Though the sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning. And then notice here, the garment of praise, it says, and I love this phrase, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. The word here for garment, it means to envelop or to wrap. Think of warming someone. You wrap around to warm someone. The garment of warmth and praise instead of a spirit of discouragement or faint spirit or heaviness or depression. This is what the Anointed One came to do, to grant a garment of praise. Again, ultimately fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns, but here and now, loved ones, in the midst of heaviness, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, we have the opportunity at any moment to put on the garment of praise, to worship through song in the face of darkness and in the face of the enemy. A great New Testament example of this is Paul and Silas in prison for their ministry to Jesus Christ. And as they are in prison, what do? They put on the garment of praise. They sing hymns and songs of worship. We who are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have the gospel within us at any point, at any time, we can choose to sing a song in the night to rehearse the reality of who we are and who we belong to in the power against the darkness with the power of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that is only found in the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ. This is why I recommend, man, at Christmas time, take advantage of biblical incarnation-centered songs. Play them, sing them. We sang, I said to my wife today in this service right here, I said, the words of the songs today are especially rich and powerful. When you really think about what you're singing and you can recognize what the anointed one came to do, the power of singing praise in the midst of our suffering. There are a few things Satan's more afraid of when a believer clings to the hope and light and the power of song and the gospel. In the midst of a situation, he hopes you'll just be so depressed and ruin your life. A garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Man, the hope that is within that, and this is what Jesus Christ came to give and came to do. So his mission is one of rescue. His ministry is one of revival and rejoicing. And lastly, this, his movement is one of rooted righteousness. Look at the last part of verse 3. What a text here today in front of us. What a text here today. Notice it says this, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. What's happening here? It's interesting. Earlier in Isaiah, the people of God were also referred to oak tree, but it was not a good thing. Look at the screen here. Isaiah 1, notice this. You shall be like an oak whose leaf withers. Well, that's kind of discouraging. And like a garden without water. That is also discouraging. Then 60 chapters later, this reference comes up again. And now in Isaiah 61, everything's changed. Now you're oaks of righteousness. Why? What's changed? It's because who has entered the equation or who has entered the picture? See, on our own, we don't last. On our own, we die of thirst. On our own, our leaves will fade. On our own, sin contaminates our lives. But then the anointed one is sent. Then Messiah arrives. He is the source of renewal, of revival. Listen, he is the source of righteousness. And what is this? This is a beautiful statement referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Because why did Jesus Christ ultimately come? Remember, Christmas is an awesome time. It's when Jesus arrived and was born. But why was he born? He was born to die. It's the arrival of the source of renewal and revival and righteousness, but ultimately he was born to die. What happens? When Jesus Christ dies, he pays for our sin. He is raised from the dead, defeating death. And at that point, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are justified. Remember that theological term, justification? Justification means if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven and you are now innocent. Before Christ, we are guilty of sin, subject to the day of vengeance of our God. But in Christ, we are forgiven. And what happens as we are justified? Our sin goes on Jesus. His perfect righteousness now goes on us. It's not our righteousness, it's his. This is called the great exchange in theological terms. It's a pretty good deal, loved ones, okay? Jesus takes our sin, we get his perfection. You're like, how is that fair? It's not. It's not fair to Christ. It's love. It's the love of God as why he was sent, that we might be oaks of righteousness. And when Jesus Christ plants an oak of righteousness, you will never, ever, ever be uprooted. You are going to last forever. You will never be cast out. You will never, ever be cut down. This is the promise inherent in Isaiah 61, pointing to the new covenant within the New Testament. Again, it's just awesome. Imagine the day as we sing and will sing. You stand before the Lord in glory, dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless will stand before the throne. That day's coming soon. You will stand before the Lord in glory and not one ounce of your righteousness will account for anything. It will be 100% of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and you will be robed in his righteousness and therefore you will gain entrance into the eternal favor and glory of the living and holy God. Wow. all because of what Jesus Christ did and the reason he was sent. You know, on this note, and this is something that I want you to turn the page once to Isaiah 61, verse 10. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 10. Again, highlight, underline, so beautiful here. Look at this, Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Look at this. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Wow. So beautiful. Verse 11, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown it to sprout up, so the Lord God, listen, will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. And that's exactly why Jesus was sent, why the anointed one came, and what he lived, died, and rose from the dead to do. And this is why Christmas is so awesome and so powerful. The opportunity for rescue, the opportunity for renewal, the opportunity to be revived, the opportunity to be rooted in righteousness, never ever to be removed. Jesus Christ offers all these things to those who believe in him by faith, not works, by faith. I wonder who here today needs to receive Jesus Christ and eternal life. Who here today, maybe for the first time ever, you're for the first time understanding Christmas, understanding Easter, understanding why Jesus is the very source of life itself. Confess your sin, admit you're a sinner, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, confess him as Lord and Savior, and the Bible says you shall be saved. If the Lord is working on your heart today, do not wait another moment. I pray today is the day of your salvation. Today is the first day of your life where you'll never look back and you'll never be the same again. This is why he came. This is what he was sent to do. Yes, Lord Jesus, revive, rescue, renew, and create righteousness in so many more people. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything Jesus touches, he revives. Every person he touches, he revives. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, I pray you are touching people today with your message of life and your transforming message of salvation. Oh God, I pray right now there is a tremendous sense of faith and expectation of what you will do. Lord, darkness is so afraid of such passages. So in Jesus' name, I pray you will cast out darkness and you will set people free. Oh Lord, grant eyes to see and hearts to believe and grant love for you among so many today. Even our song I pray right now is a garment of praise, is a garment of praise, especially for those, Lord, who are faint spirit or brokenhearted. May it be so, we pray in Jesus' name.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. I wanna-